Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
And today we have a special guest with us, part of the family, and he is pretty much family, but we have Christian from 442 joining us today. Man, how are you?
Good, man. What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody in the Crossing Soccer Borders family? Glad to be here once again, and hopefully I won't be too annoying this time.
No, you're good, man, and we're definitely on the same feed. Christian helps us put our recordings on the Dynamo Theory, and we're grateful for that. So today we're definitely going to just focus on CONCACAF, and Christian is going to has a lot, actually, to input, especially on Group D. But we'll get there. But yeah, I mean, anything happening in your life, Christian, that you want to share with us? We're kind of starting to do like a little life update, like a quick rundown of what we've gone through the week, basically.
Yeah, man. So actually a couple of things. So a couple of weeks back, I actually moved. So I'm still like in a transitional period. I'm kind of like not homeless, but, you know, I'm you know, in between homes, stuff like
Welcome
that.
Welcome to the club, man.
Yeah. And then also, I don't know if you guys know, but I am part of kind of this little Sunday league. And we started doing live, we started like streaming the games. And I've been doing like commentating and kind of like play-by-play on those. So, you know, if you guys are interested in listening, not only to 442, but, you know, watching soccer games and listening to a little bit of commentating and stuff like that, I'm doing that with Volt League. So you can actually check us out. Check out Volt League on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And the new season is about to start here in a couple of months. So, you know, if you guys are interested in a 7v7 league, probably the best one in Houston, you can hit them up there.
Yeah, I saw Eddie Robinson give you a little bit of love, man, too, today. So that's always good.
Yeah, man. It was amazing. You know, I obviously tagged them, not on purpose, but, you know, to basically shout them out, because obviously – It's a hard job when you got to talk for, like, you know, a full entire game. And I only did, like, 2 30-minute halves. I can't imagine, like, going 45 and 45, you know, on a professional live TV broadcast. I mean, that's insane.
For sure. And Rodrigo, what's up with you, man?
Yeah, man. Christian, that's pretty interesting. I did see your tweets on that. So that was pretty cool. But I'm just over here chilling in Dallas. Had a busy weekend. My wife's birthday was this weekend, so we hung out with some of her friends, and also my sister-in-law and their family came down here too. So it was pretty cool. We actually ended up going and visiting different places in Dallas that we hadn't been to. We did this whole Jurassic Park experience out like in, I guess, North Dallas, Plano area.
Let's go.
So yeah, that Frisco area. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, it's been busy, man. Didn't get to watch that many games this weekend. So I kind of, you know, had to watch a lot of highlights. But yeah, it was good.
Cool, and with that, you, good transition, man. Good transition.
I hear Frisco is where this Dallas FC plays, huh?
Something. Apparently, like I guess that's the losing team in Texas, I think.
Hey, but you know, we give them a little crap, but those guys keep selling players, and that thing is really pissing me off. All the money they're making. But let's go right. So Gold Cup action. Let's go jump into it, man. So we can go through every single group. Group A, done deal. We have Mexico and El Salvador passing through. Trinidad and Tobago and Guatemala got eliminated. Christian, you want to like mention anything on those groups? I don't know if you watched any of the Group A action.
I didn't, honestly, to be honest, I didn't watch much of it, but I know Guatemala came in as like kind of a last minute replacement. And just as they came, they went back home. So I guess a good trip for Guatemala, you know, a good experience. But
yeah, definitely. Rodrigo, you want to add anything on this group?
Basically what we expected, Mexico and El Salvador. Actually, maybe a little bit surprising, because I thought Trinidad and Tobago would have been a little bit stronger. But yeah, Mexico just shows that they have a pretty good defense. And I mean, they kind of do what they do, just keep possession, trying to attack more. That's some of what we expected coming
and
in.
And I think when it comes to the group, that last match, I got to watch the Mexico-Salvador. Well, I watch pretty much all the Mexico games, but that one's a good game, man. And Salvador's looking good. All the they're bringing a bunch of young guys, or not even young guys. They're just bringing a lot of guys seasoned in the MLS, which is good to see. You know, obviously you have Alex Rodon, Christian's brother, and he's doing very good. And then you have like a good defender. It's a good mix. I think it's going to be special whenever we get to the World Cup qualifiers and why not. But hey, Mexico and El Salvador are through, so not a, you know, it's kind of surprising, like you said, maybe Trinidad and Tobago didn't give a little bit of a fight. I mean, Guatemala didn't even wasn't even supposed to be a part of it, so you know, we'll see who we still don't know who they're gonna face in the second round or in the knockout stages. But with that, we'll jump to Group B. Group B, a very special group because the United States, and since we live in the United States, you know, United States ended up winning all three of their games. I think there's plenty to talk about here. And then Canada, of course, also making it to the knockout stages. Haiti and Martinique. Martinique, I don't know what they were doing, man. They ate 12 goals. But Christian, we'll start with you, man. I don't know if you, with your 2 cents on Group B, man.
I saw a little bit of the United States. Obviously, you know, they're playing with like their B kind of roster. You know, they don't have all the European stars and stuff like that. But I mean, I think they did an okay job. I watched a little bit, you know, the game against Canada. And it was kind of like, you know, a little back and forth in, for a little bit. But I think they had, even though it was like a one, I think it was a 1-0 game. They, you know, they kind of had it in the pocket and somewhat, in my opinion, I don't know how you guys saw it. It was kind of, I don't know. They seemed very quiet. But I mean, I like the fact that I got to see Busio. He's like one of my favorite players now at the moment. But, you know, just seeing him, you know, kind of being in that in-between between maybe Italy, United States, I'm glad, you know, they got him in for the United States. And I think, you know, we can, if he keeps growing, because the kid is like 18, 19 years old, you know, and he's already national level, you know, player. And if he keeps growing, I, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him in a World Cup, you know, with the Pulisics of the world and the McKennies and all of those guys.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's one player that we mentioned when this all started, knowing that the U.S. was obviously not bringing their A-team. Even without their A-team, you know, they still won every single game. Obviously, I mean, to me, is the toughest matches they had, which was against Haiti and Canada. They scored super early, and the other teams just couldn't score. But Rodrigo, you want to add anything on that group?
I didn't really get to watch much of the U.S.-Canada, just watched the highlights afterwards and looked pretty close. I mean, if you guys got to watch it, you probably know a little bit more. But I saw that Canada, they were actually created a lot of different opportunities trying to score. But yeah, that early goal, I guess, just kind of killed them. But man, bringing back that Busio, I don't know if you guys know, but over the weekend, it was announced that he just got bought by Venezia, I believe the coming up team in Serie A. So that's going to be good for him, good for the MLS, I guess, you know, young talent going overseas. I think that's what we've talked about here the most, you know, getting those players from the MLS that are young that can go out there instead of just, you know, sending players and having them be on a team already and then they come to the play for the national team. So I can definitely see him being part of the next World Cup. I mean, the midfield already with the guys we have, they're pretty stacked. So I think he might be more of a bench role player. But, man, he has a lot of talent. I hope we see a lot of him playing in that Serie A team.
Yeah, and he went to the same team that FC Dallas sold Tessman to. Like you said, a new team that recently got promoted to Serie A. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I was going to say, sorry, you may not get to see much of Busio anymore, Christian. But, you know, that's how it goes. But it's good to see that the MLS is starting to become a selling league, right? A big deal for the MLS, especially for us that are not from the U.S. We always saw it as kind of like the retirement league. So it's great to see teams starting to sell players, young players, talented players that can make it to the or are part already of the national team for either Canada or the United States. But I mean, I think as Houstonians, I think we all want for Houston to start being part of that, right? For sure. But let's go ahead and jump to Group C. Group C, Costa Rica, Jamaica, both advanced, and Guadeloupe and Suriname are eliminated. This matches for the match day 3 are being played tomorrow. No matter what really happens between Costa Rica and Jamaica, they both advance. They're just fighting to see who's number one. Christian, did you get to see any of those matches? Do you have any input? Or do you see who you see Costa Rica and Jamaica winning, even in paper? Who do you think will end up being number one on the number one on the group?
So on this one, honestly, I haven't seen any games of Group C at all, like not even a glimpse. I don't even know what their jerseys of Suriname look like, to be honest. But on paper, if anything, I would say Costa Rica. Like, I don't know. I haven't seen either Panama or Costa Rica, but I guess, you know, because Costa Rica has made it to a World Cup and, you know, Jamaica hasn't been anywhere, you know. I would guess Costa Rica, but, you know, who knows, you know, maybe Jamaica goes all out. Who knows? It's soccer. And you don't win until you play the 90 minutes, so.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to put Christian on the spot or anything like that. You guys know he's Argentinian, so he's probably burned out celebrating Argentina and Messi winning. So, hey, we welcome another guy, you know, trying to get it in CONCACAF, and why not, man? It's all about learning curve. But, Rodrigo, you want to add anything on Costa Rica and Jamaica? Maybe any players that kind of surprised you?
Yeah, we've just been seeing two teams have been dominating completely. Since day one, we kind of saw, you know, Costa Rica, Jamaica going on to the next round. Costa Rica, man, with the players they have, they've shown that they can play, but at the same time, it still keeps you on the edge, man. Like, which way is it going to go? You know, they started a little bit shaky both games. And then, you know, we mentioned Calvo with the late red card last game. So he's going to definitely be missing this game, and they should have him back by the quarterfinals. So that could be against the U.S. or Canada. And I think that's going to – man, those games are going to be interesting. You know, you're going to see Jamaica versus Canada or the U.S. And, you know, same thing with Costa Rica. I think that's going to be a decisive, you know, like – I think those are going to be the most interesting games of this next round.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this Costa Rica-Jamaica is going to definitely set up a good little preview, right, to what the knockout stages are going to look like. Costa Rica may rest some players. I mean, they technically get both rest players since they're both in. But for Jamaica, I'd like to see how Leon Bailey has been playing. He's just, you know, young guy from Bayer Leverkusen in Germany, just kind of showing his talent in Jamaica. And like we mentioned in the past, you know, there's a ton of guys like that in Europe, like Mason Greenwood, that could play for one of this, you know, national teams in the Caribbean. But let's jump to Group D. And I know Christian has a lot to talk about Group D because he was a big part of going and representing Dynamo Theory when it came to the media out in BBA, since we were able to, you know, catch this, or this whole group played at BBA. And also, I think there's only one game tomorrow. Sadly, if I'm not mistaken, Christian would not be there because it's his wife's birthday. But hey, the floor is yours, man. Kind of, you were able to go to two of the match days. So, you know, tell us the good, the bad, the ugly. And what did you like, or what did you learn about CONCACAF, like, in first person?
No, man. I mean, to be honest, so it was my first, like, experience covering or going to, like, international games here in the United States. Actually, probably in general, I don't think I've ever been to any international games of, like, this magnitude when they're actually, you know, playing for, like, points and trying to, you know, win a trophy. I've been to, like, exhibition matches or, you know, stuff like that. And it was, I mean, it was crazy. So the first week, it was just pouring, you know, rain. Everybody was wet. Like, literally everybody was wet. So the games were, like, pushed back a couple hours. But, you know, it was a crazy environment for being, you know, a weekday. I mean, it was fun. It was really fun. You know, so many people went out. And, you know, you got to kind of, you know, mingle with, like, you know, there was a lot of Honduras press that came down to Houston, or came up, I guess, to Houston to cover the games. And, you know, there was a bunch of people in the press booth. And, you know, whenever you go to the Dynamo games, like, there's not a lot of people in the booth. Like, there's always, like, usual suspects, you know, in a way. You know, you have the striker Texas guy, you know, Victor Araiza, and, like, Corey, and, like, just, you know, the guys that are always there. But, you know, this time you got to see, like, a lot of new faces, and you looked around, there was people, like, you know, traveling with little bags of makeup, and you're like, why does this dude have makeup? Well, because in, like, 10 seconds he's gonna be on TV, and, you know, obviously he has to look good and all that. And I was like, man, that's crazy. And you see all these cameras, and you see all these you know, people, and you're like, man, I wonder if this guy is like famous in his country, you know, because you just started like thinking and stuff like that. And then the first game got delayed, and there was actually three players from Costa Rica in the press, not Costa Rica, Panama. And the press booth, obviously, I had no idea who they were. I wasn't able to distinguish any of them, you know, from, because obviously I'm new to the whole CONCACAF experience. But obviously they were like decked up and kind of like their training gear. I guess they weren't playing that game. But it was just cool, you know, like you get to like feel and see the experience of what it like kind of takes to like have a game on TV. Like you get to see the background, you know, how the cameras move, how the people communicate and stuff like that. And then, so that was Tuesday. So Tuesday was like, you know, kind of everything new for me. You know, when it came to the games, yeah, the first game was Qatar and they were playing Panama. And it was a crazy game because it ended 3-3. It was like super back and forth, like 100 goals, you know, penalties and this and that. And like, and there was people from Qatar, a lot of people from Qatar, surprisingly. Actually, I didn't know there were so many Qataris in Houston. Like they had like the whole, almost like the whole bottom bowl of the stadium kind of fields and stuff like that.
Yeah, me and Rodrigo, yeah. We were recording at that time and it was 0-0. And then we looked up and it was like, holy crap, it's 3-3. So must have been a fantastic game to watch, man.
Bro, literally, and like, so the first half was like pretty chill. It was 0-0. And then the second half started, there was, if I'm not mistaken, 4 goals in 10 minutes. Like just straight up back to back. And like, you couldn't look away because they were like scoring. And then the penalties came and then the dude chipped the goalie. And you're like, man, like they putting on a show. Like Qatar came to like, well, you know, on Saturday when I was talking to actually there was a gentleman there that was working for Qatar, like for their federation or something. And, you know, we started talking because the guy's Argentinian too. And he actually worked for like Fox Sports, Telemundo for like 10 years. He launched like an ESPN type channel in Argentina. Like, you know, we got talking to the guy. And like he was telling me, you know, all about like Qatar. Like basically, you know, they came to CONCACAF to win the cup. Like they didn't come here just to like, you know, showcase their country or showcase, you know, the fact that the World Cup is going to be played in Qatar next year. You know, they came here to, you know, put their foot down and be like, hey, Qatar is actually, you know, going to win this thing. You know what I'm saying? And it was crazy. I mean, they have really good players. Like most of their players, I think, come from the domestic league. They don't have really international players like from outside of their league. But something that was interesting to me is that a lot of their players have like European descent. So like there's this guy, their right winger, his name was Pedro. And you're like how does a guy named Pedro, you know, play for Qatar, you know? So you started kind of digging, and then I think it turns out his parents are from Portugal. So he has like Portuguese descent. And then there was another guy that he had like French descent. He had also kind of like a Frenchy name. And it was just, you know, you start to learn all these things about, you know, these countries and these teams and stuff like that. And then, you know, they played Grenada. They, you know, whooped Grenada 4-0 on the second match week. And then, you know, you start getting intrigued because you're like, man, poor guys. Like, obviously, you know, not to diminish anyone, but their level, you know, wasn't up to par. I don't know how they did, you know, obviously they qualified. So obviously they had some type of talent, you know, on their team. But then when you start looking at the roster, it's like players from the third division in England up to the sixth division in England. And you're like, man, that's crazy. Like, I didn't even know Qatar had 11 guys to put on the field, you know? But you start seeing like, you know, they, when it's countries like that, like they literally have to pull players from like anywhere in the world. And I just thought it was cool that literally like almost more than half of their roster came from players that play in England in the lower division. So I don't know. I just thought it was cool. And then doing like, you know, when they do press conferences at the end, I was actually one of the few people that asked questions, you know, to the Qatari players. And the crazy experience was me asking a question in English, and then you have a translator, like all in the Zoom connection, that he translates to Arabic, and then the guy responds in Arabic, and then they translate it to like Spanish or English. I just thought it, you know, it's simple things, but you're like, man, that's crazy. Like all the work that has to be put into like, you know, having all the players, you know, the traveling, the language barriers, you know, maybe cultural things and stuff like that. Because on Tuesday, Qatar has a game, and well, the guy, the Argentina guy that was in the press booth, he was telling me on Tuesday it's a very like special date in Qatar. It's like their second made their how do I say this? Like they're out of their major holidays that they have, that is their second most important one. So you know, the guy was like, you know, because going into working for the Qatari Federation, he was like, I wonder how this is gonna play out, because you know, usually they have like a family thing. They, you know, they have dinner. It's comparable to a Christmas, but you know, it's obviously, you know, in those countries they don't have Christmas because, you know, obviously religions and stuff like that, it's not the same. But so it's gonna be interesting dynamic how, you know, they go into this Tuesday knowing that, you know, it's like a special holiday for them and it's like very special to them, and maybe they could win, you know, they could beat Honduras and come out on top of their group. But then going talking about Honduras, literally on Saturday, I don't know, 90 to 95% of the people in the stadium were from Honduras. It was the craziest experience I've ever like seen in a stadium live. Like when you're out there and like you can't hear yourself because they're being so loud. I don't know. I wish everybody like could have been there, man. Like it was such a crazy experience. And then when they sing the national anthem, like I was recording, you know, with my phone, and it just kind of gives you the chills to see like 20,000 people yelling out, you know, their national anthem, and like you can see their pride. And I don't, and that was a good game against Panama as well. You know, they went up 1-0, then they went down 2-1, and then they came back and won 3-2. And the like when they scored that third goal, the place like exploded. It was crazy. And then to finish it off, I was in the parking lot like 45 minutes to an hour after the game because I couldn't get out. They were partying in the parking lot. Like, I'm talking about dudes with grills, like at 10 o'clock at night, just like cooking, like if it was 2 p.m. And then like dudes would be like, hey, we're going to the bar to celebrate after this. It's like, dude, it's 11 o'clock, go home. But you know, but to them, like a victory like that, it was like worthy of like the greatest celebration ever. So shout out to all the Honduras people, man. Like everybody was nice. You know, there was a lot of people from Panama as well. A lot of people from Qatar. And surprisingly, I saw fans from Grenada, which I was like, I didn't even know it existed as a country until, you know, this week. So
yeah, and you took some really good pictures too. So, man, like that's a fun experience. I'm hoping that you're able to go to the quarterfinals. If you can sneak me in, man, you know, to watch the U.S. or Mexico, you know. I may be able to fit in a pocket, bro. But talking about Honduras and how you're talking about the, you know, feeling the chills and all that, not just seeing the stadium rocking. Rodrigo, I don't know if you were able to watch the Panama against Honduras match and maybe highlights of it, but how special, you know, for someone like you and me that have been following the Dynamo a little longer than Christian, maybe the fact of, you know, having that Kyoto and Elise connection and creating goals, man. What do you think about that?
Definitely special, man. Envious of Christian experience because this was like the best group to watch. Just the atmosphere out there, and then just the goals, man. Like, or the matches, I would say, really close. You know, tough matches. I think they were scored 21 goals in BBA, probably the most in 4 games, the most that we've had in that stadium in a long time. That's crazy, man. But yeah, like, man, Kyoto with Elise, and then just how they go and celebrate with the fans, you just feel the passion. And I hate to say it, but like, that's what Houston needs. Like, and we have it. That's the worst part. It's like, imagine, like, just watching that game, imagine if that was every Dynamo game. Man, like, that's just beautiful. Like, there's something, you know, hopefully with the new, with Ted, you know, bringing something more to the table, and we can get that. I think that's a possibility. And yeah, like Rudy said, reminiscing on those times that we had with Elise and Kyoto, and, you know, we have Boniac, them as the Honduran, you know, representing there, the Dynamo. That's what we like about soccer, you know, that's the beautiful game, as we say, and just a lot of passion. And I think we can get that as a Dynamo team as well, just put that in there.
And just to do a cheap plug, of my podcast, but I'm gonna be recording here also, and then I'm basically gonna be talking about, man, the love, like, literally Elise is like a national hero, dude. Like, it was crazy, like, you know, because the players, you know, they would come out of the tunnel and, like, you know, whenever they would announce, you know, Albert Elias, and like the crowd would go wild, dude. They did for Kyoto as well, but I think Elias, since he made that jump into Europe, obviously, you know, when you go into Europe, they kind of, you know, you get, you know, you went up a step, you know, out of everybody else. You kind of overtook everybody because now you're a big European player. And especially now that, you know, there's talks of like him probably going to West Ham, or, you know, there's the Celtic, or like, you know, big teams in, you know, in the English Premier League or the Scottish League. And you're like, man, a guy from Honduras, like, could be killing it pretty soon, you know, in the best league in the world, you know? And it's just like, it's very crazy to see how, you know, 20,000 people were just, you know, kind of like loving this guy. And you start thinking, you're like, man, we just had him. Like, where were all these 20,000 people, like, you know, last year when, you know, we had like a prime Elias, and even when we had a prime Elias and a prime Kyoto, like, working together side by side. Like, they looked like brothers, like, playing. Like, they played forever together. Like, it was beautiful to watch them play and, like, put plays together and stuff like that. But, you know, going back, you know, it would be beautiful to see, like, something like that happen, you know, here in Houston, you know. Like, why do we have to wait till these players, like, leave our team to, like, you know, become stars? But, you know, I'll talk about that on 4-4-2, keep it more Dynamo focused, you know, there. But yeah, it was a great experience, man.
And for sure, man, I think just for the sake of time, just closing thoughts for me, we're going to, me and Rodrigo, and maybe even Christian, may jump, who knows, we're planning to do a all Spanish episode, just to kind of see what, you know, what the audience looks like, because I have a lot of friends in Mexico. And family members, they keep asking about it. But obviously, since we do everything in English, it's hard for them to understand. But yeah, Christian, go ahead and, you know, give them all your information so they can follow you, check out your podcast as well, man.
Yeah, man. So you can check me out, obviously, in 4-4-2, QUATTRO QUATTRO DOS on Instagram and then Facebook as well. And then if you want to find me, it's just Chris Putaleas, which is CRIS. CUTALLAZ. And thank you guys for having me on the show once again.
Yeah, man, anytime. What's it called? We have so much fun. Like, it seems like, you know, I think, like, obviously we just met you in person, but you're one of those persons that it seems like you know him for a long time. It's just that soccer loving, right, that we all have. But yeah, just keep in mind. Also, I think, are you recording tonight, you said?
Yes. No, I'm, okay. I'm here. You hear me? I don't know why they can't.
Yeah, I can hear you. I was just wondering because, okay, obviously, so yeah, definitely listen to Christian's recording, because yeah, he's most likely, I'm just going to give a teaser, the Dynamo play tomorrow, so he's most likely going to talk a little bit about that. Yep. Yeah, with that said, man, keep crossing soccer borders.